MenaWatch, der unabhängige Nahost-Think Tank.
We had the analysis by Professor Dan Shuftan for the first part. Now we are going into the questions, into single parts of his analysis, telling us what he thinks about the future of Syria, of Lebanon. How is the effect of Iran's weakness? How can we go on with Turkey? And all these questions are coming on now in the second part with Dan Shuftan. Do you think that Europe and America support Israel the right way to really help defend Western rights and Western values? And do you think that there should be a different approach against Iran?
There is a lot of support for Israel in the United States and in Europe. Is it all that I wanted? No. Would I want more people in the United States and in Europe to support Israel? Yes. But I think that the question of support should be seen in the context of the strengths of Israel. Israel can afford to do also what Americans and Europeans don't like. And I think both Europeans and Americans understand that they can have an impact on Israel only if they basically show support for Israel, and then they can criticize this specific point or another. And by the way, criticism inside the Western civilization is fine. I mean, I'm not willing to listen to criticism from the United States, from the United Nations, because the majority of the United Nations are regimes that are autocratic, dictatorial, or barbarian. And for them to speak about human rights, they don't even have the right to use the term. So every international organization is prostituted on a level that I'm not even willing to listen to them. But since we have learned from the Europeans a lot of our liberalism, since we appreciate the values of the United States and Europe, of course they have a right to have a healthy and fair criticism against Israel. But I think the more important point is that Israel is willing to do what is necessary even when the Americans and the Europeans don't agree with us. And then the Americans and the Europeans will learn post factum that what Israel did was essentially the right thing. Again, Israelis also make mistakes. Israelis also do things that they should not have done. We have, to give you only one example, I think that the first Lebanon war was a mistake in the war in the way that it was conducted, okay? Israel should have taken violent actions in Lebanon, but I would not occupy Beirut going back to 1982. So I'm not saying Israel can do or will do whatever the Israelis want. What I'm saying is, when it comes to the critical issue for Israel, even European and American criticism is not strong enough to dissuade us from doing so.
About Iran, I want to know, is there a way that you would suggest to make this regime go, fail?
Yes. Yes, in Iran, you need to destroy the Iranian economy. Will the Iranian people suffer? Yes, I'm sorry. But if you don't destroy the Iranian economy, then you will not be able to bring about a regime change or to force this regime to change its policy, because it will not have the resources to do what it is doing Now, Europeans must also understand that today we are facing a combination of China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. So whatever is bad for Iran is good for the civilized world, as long as Iran has this regime. Now, don't misunderstand me. The Iranian people is an impressive people, but like Germany in the 1930s and 40s, the combination of an impressive people and a barbarian leadership is extremely dangerous. So one day when you get rid of the barbarians who are controlling Iran today, Iran could be brought into a civilized world in the way that Germany and Japan were after the Second World War, but it required burning Berlin and burning Tokyo, okay? So I'm not suggesting today that we should burn Tehran. What I'm suggesting is destroy the Iranian economy. Yes, the Iranian people will suffer. There is no way that you can make a major change in Iran so that Iranians will not suffer.
So you think that it needs help from outside? They cannot do it by themselves?
Unfortunately, they're too weak to do it by themselves, but it's there. The infrastructure for pluralism is in Iran. You only need to remove the impediment of these barbarians so that the Iranians, the mainstream of the Iranian population, can have its way, and Iran can be very successful. Actually, in the Middle East, there are two promising nations, Israel and Iran. Okay? If we get rid of the barbarian in Istanbul, also Turkey. And I would love to see Arab states going in this direction. I'm very impressed by what I see in the United Arab Emirates, for instance. And perhaps some of it will also happen in Saudi Arabia. I'd be delighted. There are interesting beginnings.
Let's talk about Turkey.
Look, Erdogan is a barbarian. He is a Muslim brother. He is an ally to all other barbarians. Whatever is good for Erdogan is bad for Turkey. Okay? Whatever helps Erdogan undermines the chances of Turkey to come back to the course of Mustafa Kemal. We had a very important and positive revolution in the positive direction 100 years ago, and 20-something years ago, this barbarian had a counter-revolution. And this is dangerous. And he pretends to be civilized, but he is not. And he can cheat people like Obama. And I hope that Trump will not be impressed by him, because I'm afraid that Trump may make the mistake in Turkey.
Let me ask about the Kurds. This is a very important fact in the Middle East right now. There is different areas with Kurds. There is Western civilized Kurds, and there is some of them very aggressive. How can we distinguish between the different groups? Because in Germany, we do have a very moderate and very Western-worlded Kurdish community. So how do you see Erdogan and his fight against the Kurds?
First of all, I think that the West in general and Israel in particular, I apologize, I'm having difficulties with my voice. I think that we should support the Kurds. We should not try to dismantle Turkey. And we should be very careful not to support elements among the Kurds who are radicals. But I think that the Kurds, certainly in Syria, deserve support. I don't want Erdogan to take over this part of Turkey. I don't want Erdogan to take over any part of Turkey. But also, I don't want that we let him crush the Kurds in Syria. There are Kurds who are, I think, basically positive in northern Iraq. And what we should seek is a kind of national conciliation in Turkey with moderate Kurds. And as you said, there are many Kurds in Germany who can help us identify within the Kurdish community the elements that we should support, and we should help them resist Erdogan. But again, I think that in Turkey, we should support a kind of cultural autonomy without trying to dismantle Turkey. I think this would be a mistake, but we should encourage Kurds in Iraq and in Syria, in collaboration with moderate Kurds in Turkey, to establish themselves. The problem is that Erdogan radicalized Turks, not only in Turkey, but also in Germany. And that's a major problem. And we should undermine the radicalized Turks everywhere, including in Germany. I mean, as long as they're law-abiding citizens, fine. As long as they are willing to maintain Western values, fine. If they go in the direction that Erdogan is suggesting, they become, I think, an enemy of civilized and pluralistic society.
But let's go on to talk about the other groups that are at the moment in a change. How about Syria and Lebanon? How do you see the future between them and Israel?
Let me first say something about Germany internally. I think that it's very important to encourage pluralism, including accepting the fact that people have a different religion, want to speak a different language, want to have different music, want to have different food. That's fine. But the basic values must be protected. For instance, attitude to women. If you go too much multiculti in this direction, this is very dangerous. Pluralism must be restricted. Not every other is automatically legitimate. If you don't put restrictions, and who puts the restrictions? We do. Because our culture is superior, not different, but superior. Treating women equally is superior to treating them like cattle. Okay? So we should recognize that certain core values need to be protected. For instance, the use of violence. This is something you can't say in my culture, this is acceptable. No way. This is something that must be imposed and not go too far. Going back to Syria and Lebanon. Unfortunately, Lebanon is a failed state. Maybe it can now be rebuilt thanks to the defeat of Hezbollah. But the problem of Lebanon is much deeper than only Hezbollah and Iran and Syrian involvement. Lebanon has a problem like most Arab states, where you don't go beyond the tribal identity. And we have seen Lebanon deteriorating even before Hezbollah was strong, among other things, because of an enormously high level of corruption and very tribal politics. Will things in Lebanon be less bad than before? Probably yes. Will Lebanon in the near future be a well-functioning country that can impose its sovereignty so that something like Hezbollah cannot be very strong in Lebanon? I'm afraid not. Syria, again, a tribal country. I don't see it becoming one functioning state. And if it is one functioning state, actually as a proxy of Turkey, then of Erdogan's Turkey, then I think it's very dangerous. At the moment, the best thing is a weak Syria, because Syria will be radical at the moment under the prevailing circumstances. If things in Syria change and it is not radical, then, you know, no problem. But at the moment, if they're radical, I also want them to be weak.
I know that your opinion about the two-state solution, but how do you think will be the future of the Palestinian territories, and how would it be to involve Jordan? You said that there is danger that they are undermined from other groups, but they have already 75% or more Palestinians within their state. So how come that this is in the analysis that I have heard, not a point to involve Jordan? They always talk about Israel and America and Arab countries, but not Jordan.
Okay, it is perhaps fitting that we deal with the Palestinians as the last question in our interview, because putting this on top as if this is the issue of the Middle East was always wrong. And the assumption after October 7th, you see, the Palestinians proved that the Palestinian issue is important. No, the radical element is important. Iran, Hezbollah, also the Palestinians, because they're radical. But it is not that if you would have solved the Palestinian problem, this would not have happened. Hezbollah would be a nice country club, and Iran would be open to democracy or something. No, the problem are the radicals, and the radicals mobilize the Palestinians and use the Palestinians as an excuse. If they don't have one excuse, they'll find another excuse. I also, the only word that is too rude for me to use, I'm a very rude person and I use a lot of rude words, but there is one word that I never use, and this is solution. The only thing that has a solution is a crossword puzzle. This fantasy that you can solve problems, maybe in a process of decades, centuries, generations, you can replace one problem with another. But people who speak about the two-state solution must be either stupid or ill-informed, ignorant, or, and this is legitimate, to say something that sounds good without even understanding what you're saying. Okay, these are the three options. At the moment, if the Palestinians are independent, the inevitable certain result is that Hamas takes over. This is the strongest force in the Palestinian society. There is something profoundly wrong with the Palestinian society. It's not Abu Mazen or Arafat or this or other leader. They have this kind of leader because he represents what the Palestinians are. For 100 years, they only have the wrong kind of leaders. Okay? The United States imposed on the Palestinians for a short while Salam Fayyad, a nation builder. I must admit, a personal friend of mine, so I'm not objective about him. This is the best that could have happened to the Palestinians. He wanted to build a Palestinian nation, and he never had more than 2% of the Palestinian support. The kind of people you have today are repulsive, and those who will take their place are not much better. They have learned how to pretend in the Western world to use the right words, and people who are ignorant or want to cheat themselves listen to them. But if today the Palestinians are independent, they will bring Iran to Tulkarm. They will bring Iranian-controlled militias to the border with Israel.
Could Jordanian be helpful?
I supported Jordan coming in. The Jordanians don't want to. But if the Jordanians are in a position, the Jordanian regime is in a position to control them, I'm very much for it. The Jordanians are responsible, but unfortunately, they have the most radical public opinion in the Arab world because it's a combination of Palestinians and Muslim Brothers. What can you expect? There is something profoundly wrong with the Palestinian people in terms of, not that they were born in any way wrong, but this is how they educate their children. They educate their children not to be productive, not to seek nation building, to put in the center of their attention to delegitimize and undermine the Jewish state. They know what they're against. They don't know what they're for. They have learned how to cheat stupid people in the United States and in Europe to give them billions of dollars. And 100% of this billions of dollars goes to weapons and corruption. Okay? So, unfortunately, in the near future, Israel can not do what I wanted Israel to do, to get out of the overwhelming majority of the West Bank and all of the Gaza Strip. I advocated unilateralism because the Jordanians were not willing to accept. And the mistake we made is not getting out of Gaza, but not responding to the first missile in a very, 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 very strong way. Again, if the New York Times does not condemn it, we've done the wrong thing. Okay? If the New York Times and the BBC and Amnesty International don't condemn us, we have not done the right thing. We must do something that is so painful that they cannot afford to continue with their barbaric violence.
Okay, so let's come to the other question. Since the terror attack, there are 465 days went on, and we didn't have a hostage deal. So now it looks as if there is something coming on. What is exactly the deal that they are talking about today?
Let me very shortly answer the last part of the previous question, and very shortly this one, because we are at the end of our time. Israel will have in the West Bank, unfortunately, I wish we could get out, but unfortunately, we will have to be in a position where we can do what we are doing today, namely, very strictly fight the terrorists without the overwhelming majority of the population being involved. We've had major success in fighting terrorism, and the millions of Palestinians in the West Bank are not involved in the struggle with Israel. This is what we, in the near future, can have. By the way, I suggested to people in Congress in the United States that the United States adopt a two-state solution, a Republican state and a Democratic state, because the polarization in America is so bad that I think that the two-state solution, jokingly, of course, could be considered. Considering the hostages, since we don't know the terms of the deal. We will know it in a few days, but we don't know it when we record this. I will only say the following. Until now, Hamas demanded that in return for bringing back part of the hostages, Israel will allow Hamas to reestablish itself in the Gaza Strip. And it was the right thing not to let Hamas do it. If now it is possible to do it without Hamas reestablishing itself in a major way in the Gaza Strip, then it is possible. It will be costly, it will be painful, but it is necessary. But if we would have been stupid enough to accept it a year ago, everything we have achieved in this war, we would not have achieved. And therefore, it would be an Israeli defeat if we would have listened to people who say, just stop the war. Sometimes prolonging the war is the right thing. If I were in Allied forces in 1943, I would say, don't stop the war. We need the war to continue. Okay? Because I don't want to stop it before D-Day. I don't want to stop it before we destroy Germany and destroy Japan, so that a different Germany and a different Japan can emerge. So always saying war is bad, stop it, is very simple-minded and therefore very journalistic, because it's very simple-minded. I think with that happy note, we can end here.
No. You're not off the hook. I have to ask you two more questions. One is about what has been expected from Trump, and the second one for Israel. The second one is, do you think that this government, this Israeli government, that you, in another interview, you called it dysfunctional or ineffective, will there be elections soon or later?
Okay, very shortly, because I have to teach at the university and my time is limited. What I expect of Trump is to go in the opposite direction of Obama and Biden in the initial phases of Biden. Biden changed, to give him credit, on some issues, namely to do whatever is bad for the enemies of the United States and to support the allies of the United States. Trump made an enormous contribution in his previous term with the Abraham Accords. You should notice that Obama got the Nobel Prize for doing nothing, and Trump did not get the Nobel Prize for the Abraham Accords, which is one of the most important developments in the history, in the modern history of the Middle East. So I hope he will extend it to Saudi Arabia in a way that Israel can benefit from it, but not only Israel, the stability of the whole Middle East. Concerning the Israeli government, I admire the resilience of the Israeli society in spite of the fact that we have the most dysfunctional government we've had for a very long time, with the worst people that you can imagine included in the government, not the whole government, but included. And I mean the fascists of Ben-Gvir and the parasites of the ultra-Orthodox. And I want a government that will be from Meretz to Likud, namely a Zionist government without Arab parties, without ultra-Orthodox parties, without Messianic parties, and without fascist parties. And we have 80 members of Knesset, namely a very clear majority. And the difference between Meretz and Likud are not major. You can reach a compromise on practically everything. We need much more time to discuss it, and I'll be delighted to do it on a separate interview, but I think that we will have elections either in 25 or in 26. I don't think that it will be a catastrophe if the elections are not immediate. I don't think that it will be terrible if the government will fall before the end of the term. The radicals on both sides keep telling us that if they're not in power, there is not democracy. And this is bullshit. I'm trying to find a good substitute for bullshit. This is bullshit on both sides. Okay? The people who say, if we are not in power, there is no democracy, or there is no patriotism, or that we have one kind of government that is not a good government for reasons that I mentioned. I think the only government that will really be good for Israel is not the one that is divided between right and left, because the overwhelming majority of the Israeli electorate is in the center. And the radicals on both sides, both the people in Kaplan Street and people like the Minister of Justice with his attempt to take over the courts, or the attempt of the legal system to have a hostile takeover of Israel. The radicals are our enemies. And I think that compromise is possible in the mainstream of Israeli society.
Thank you so much, Dan. Now I let you go and have your speech at the university. Thank you so much for your time. And I really hope all your suggestions will be heard. Thank you very much.
Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost-Think-Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns. Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost-Think-Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns.